I want you to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I'm going to start with in verse 54 of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And the title of this message is Abraham's Joy. Abraham's Joy. Abraham's Joy. John chapter 8. And Jesus was speaking to the people of God in Judea. He was speaking to the lawyers and the Pharisees, and they had accused him of being demonized or being driven by an unclean spirit in his work of miracles. So I just want you to know, if somebody accuses you of being demonized or being like a spiritually awful person, man, the presence of God is in this place right now. I just want you to know the atmosphere has changed. It's changed. God's here. He's here. Amen. And so they accused Jesus of functioning as a demonic manifestation. And so don't be surprised if that happens. Then Jesus said this: if I glorified myself, my glory means nothing. If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. And if I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. He's trying to win friends and influence people. But I do know him and keep his word. Here it is. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham was well known to the Jews as being a happy camper. He was known, the father of faith was a joyful person. He was not a sourpuss. He was not a serious as a heart attack kind of person. These are all the terms you hear, right? In our land, right? All this thing. But Abraham was happy. He had a joy in him that made him stand out from all the other spiritual fathers that Israel had. Abraham's number one characteristic was laughter after faith. Because he believed God, right? And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 17. He believed God, but his faith brought him joy. His faith brought him joy. He was not a grit it and bear it kind of faith person. He laughed his way into the promises of God. Woo! Come on, somebody say amen to that. Amen. He laughed his way into God's promises. He broke the pattern that was in the world at that time. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm trying to serve the Lord as best I know how. I'm going to make it someday. Somehow I'll go to heaven and be happy. But while I'm here, I'm going to make you know about every bad thing I'm going through. People try to sanctify their moaning and groaning and complaining. God doesn't do it. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, you see the progression of Abraham's worship. Now, Abraham, when he first began to have revelation by the Lord, his worship responded first. His first way to worship God. Okay, I'm not going to take you back there and prove it to you. You got to go back there and look it for yourself, okay? Y'all can read the Bible. You go back and check me out. But Abraham's response to the word of the Lord at first was to lift up his eyes and see what God was showing him. First thing, right? God said to him, lift up your eyes and see what I've got for you. And Abraham looked, and it was good. It was good. So the very first act of worship many times for the believer is for God to come to you as a downcast person and simply say, look up, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come. Lift up your eyes and see what I've got for you. That's the beginning of worship for many people, because they can begin to see that God has got something for them. And Abraham's eyes were lifted up. And now in Genesis chapter 17, we're going to go to the place that Jesus talked about. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, because you'll see he rejoiced. Okay, by the word, that word rejoiced in the Greek means to. Yeah. One thing I love about Martin Smith, anybody ever in a worship service when he leads, he always does this in a worship, and I love it. He'll go, okay, everybody, we're going to dance right now. And he gets this all ready, you know what I mean? So like if you're sitting or if you're doing something different, you're like, okay, we're going to dance. And here you are with a couple thousand people and you're sitting in your chair and you're like, he goes, and then he always does a countdown. He goes, one, two, everybody dance. And then next thing you know, everybody just starts jumping up and down and dancing. I love that when he does that in a worship service, because he lets you know it's time. Come on, folks. It's time to dance. Amen. It's time to dance. So here is Abraham responding in his worship. Now look, the first act of worship he did was a lifting up the head to see what God has for you. And I thank God for his vision. He gives his vision. Then he comes to him in chapter 17, and the Lord appears to him when he was 99 years old. And he said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And that's like he hasn't had a child yet. Yet he's God's talking about increase of something he hasn't got yet. How do you like that? Lord speaks to you about increase of something you don't even possess yet. Because he's that kind of God. He's that kind of faith. He's that kind of faith where he'll speak of increase. And so what was Abraham's response to the word of the Lord? Abraham fell face down. So the first step of worship many times is to stick your head up and see what God has, to lift your head up. But the second act, the second level of worship, so to speak, is to fall on your face and say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to be done. Amen. I'm helpless to make this thing happen. I've got nothing else to do but fall on my face. And you know what? When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started falling on my face during worship services. I never did it before. And sometimes the Lord would say in a service, I want you to go right over there and do some carpet time. We have nice carpet here for that very reason. We got to have good carpet, and we clean it a lot here. We do it on a regular schedule, right? We do. So that if you want to get down on your face before God, that's okay. That's something we want to see. I want to see. I need my carpet time. I need my time on my face with the Lord. And this is how he responded in worship, by just getting on his face. And it didn't say that he actually went down. He actually fell. So like sometimes people fall because you trip. Somebody tripped him. Could have been an angel. Something happened. He fell. He went down. He went down. And then God began to continue to speak to him. As for me, this is my covenant. No longer will you be called Abram. You're going to be Abraham. You're going to be very fruitful. Now, later on in that very same chapter, God spoke to him. Verse 15. And this is what he tells Abraham. He says, as for Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. So he takes the I out of her name and puts the ah into her name. Like breath of the Holy Spirit. Ah. Amen. How many of you want the I taken out of your name and a little more breath of the Holy Spirit in your name? Amen. Yeah. Take it out, Lord. Take out the I. Sarai. Sarah. Oh, ah. Ah, Holy Spirit. Wow. And then I will bless her and surely give us you a son by her. I will bless her so much that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And then Abraham fell face down and he laughed. This is Abraham rejoicing to see my day. My day. Because when he saw and heard that word about Isaac, he saw something about Jesus in that word. And he laughed. He laughed at what he saw. And he began to laugh on the floor. Good place. Do you think church should be the place where you laugh the most? At first, I did not know that. I think the assembly of God's people should be the place where you do the most laughing. Not the laughter of mocking somebody. How many of you know that's the kind of laughter we're surrounded by most of the time, right? The laughter of mocking. But this is the laughter of wonder. You ever see something so fantastic that you just can't help but laugh in reaction to it? Yeah. I mean, they played a video last week at the conference where this lady, remember the lady that got healed and she couldn't walk? And they showed the video of her legs being healed. And all she did was, she was like, she just started laughing. She could not say a word because she was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. She had no way to respond to it other than laughter. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The dreaming is the as a result of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, right? It says you'll dream dreams and have visions. And when that dream comes upon you, then you see the dream realized and you're like, ah, you start laughing. And then that laughter turns into singing, and that singing turns into a testimony and a witness for other people. And people go, wow, the Lord has done great things. It's not you. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I don't glorify myself. But the glory comes as we get blessed by the Lord, and the Lord brings glory to us by bringing signs and wonders in our midst. Signs and wonders that cause us to laugh and to rejoice. We're talking about signs and wonders that are not necessarily that laughter that comes not so much because of a good joke, but laughter because of God doing wonderful things. Amen. Amen. Like the shoeboxes, like the kids, when they see that, the first thing they do is they just laugh. They're like, wow, God, bring us that kind of joy. So have I convinced you that to a Jewish person, Abraham was a happy person? Have I convinced you that? Have we seen it now? Now let's go to Romans chapter 5, and then we're gonna finish up right here. Romans chapter 5. God, give us the joy of Abraham. Give us the laughter that comes from the promise of God. Give us the laughter that comes from faith. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice. And we rejoice. We have peace. We have access by faith to grace for our situation. All right, say after me, Lord Jesus, I have access to grace for every situation I'm facing. So now I can be happy. Amen. Realize the source of our happiness is the ability to access grace for every situation we face. Everything. Every situation, no matter what it is, we come in there, God, and we get this faith that takes us into the grace storehouse that gives us what we need for whatever situation that we face, whether it's in our life as a job, or whether it's relationships, or whether it's our health, or whether it's education or our future, whether it's our past that comes back to hurt us, we have access to grace. And that grace is revealed in our joy and our rejoicing. It says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God shows up as signs and wonders and miracles. I know this is God because this is the only way this could have happened. And we get happy because we see God do things. And we know it's Him that did it. Yep. It wasn't anybody else. And we got to say, God just did it. God did it. I don't know how He did it, but He did it. And I'm happy about it. Because we're seeing that hope. Now, and this is the context of Abraham's faith, because the whole chapter 4 is all about Abraham and his faith. So we see this rejoicing that comes on. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also, number 2, rejoice in sufferings, because we know that even suffering, God can turn into a blessing. That even in our suffering, God will make us better people. And it'll create hope in our lives. I love it, because hope is at the end of the list of stuff that happens because we have faith. Remember, the suffering that you are enduring in verse 4, we rejoice in our sufferings. I believe the sufferings that we go through here are sufferings on account of the Word of God. Because God spoke to us His Word, we go through stuff because of that Word. Things happen to us that challenge that word. And as we rejoice in the midst of the sufferings of the things in our life that happen because of the word of God, because of the word given to us, that gives us the ability to make it all the way through the end. I mean, think about Abraham. If God had just simply come to him and said, Abraham, you know, you and your wife, you've really tried really hard to have kids. And you're just not going to have kids. Just accept it, you know. But by giving him that promise, what did he do? He gave him hope, but he also put him through suffering in the midst of that, because he had a promise that was unfulfilled. You see what I'm saying? If God hadn't promised him nations, Abraham wouldn't have gone through the suffering. He would have just been like anybody else. But there was something about that word that put Abraham on a track into the impossible. And the suffering he went through was because he was trying to do the impossible with God. Am I getting that across to you? Yeah. We're not just talking about everyday suffering like colds and, you know what I mean, life. In general, I'm talking about the sufferings that happen because God puts his hand on your life. And he says, now, Vincent, you're not just going to be a club singer. Sorry. You're Italian. That's good. That goes very much in your favor. Yeah. You play the guitar well. You know, but no. You're not going to be a club singer. You're not going to sing songs of the world. You're going to sing songs for me. And I'm giving you some promises. But with that impossible vision or that destiny that he's put you on, that's put Vincent through some sufferings that he wouldn't have had if he had just been a music guy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's the call of God. It's the hand of God on your life. Like, you know, Susan, if you hadn't have gone the course that you had, I directed you in certain places that made life a little more difficult than if you just done what you would have wanted to do. But God brought you. Come on, I'm giving you the word of the Lord. And through that, I am actually pointing you to the impossible, because I'm going to bring about things that you thought were never possible. And you've had to suffer a little bit, but I've made provision and grace for that time of suffering, because it's actually making you better, not bitter.
Amen.
It's the call of God. You could have been this. Roddy would have been a rock star. You know, I'm serious. If the call of God wasn't on his life, we'd all be like watching him, you know, on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like in the, you know, with all these other older looking guys. They look way older than he does. Let me tell you what. Mick Jagger. Just look at Keith Richards. You'll understand. Same age as Ron. No, I'm just kidding. but not by much. He would have been a rock star, been doing something there, hanging out at L.A., you know what I mean, doing this or that. But God said, no, that's not my plan for you. I've got something better. You're going to be a father to many nations. You're going to have a ministry that's going to impact people, and it's not going to be causing people to run for the next dope dealer.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
See, God has his hand on you and me. He's got a destiny and a purpose for you and me. And that thing will cause us to make some turns that we normally would not take.
Right?
Right.
Right.
And that joy is what keeps us looking young. Praise God. I believe Abraham at 99 years old looked pretty good. As a matter of fact, Sarah looked really good. When she was like 75, Abraham was like, you know, the king of Pharaoh, whatever that guy was trying to take Sarah when she was 75, because she was a good looking woman.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on now.
Abraham was only middle aged at 100. I think he
lived 175. He lived 175, yeah. He had plenty of good years with those kids. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
God is so good. So we're in Romans chapter 5. And I want to talk about just one more thing. Hope does not make us ashamed.
Amen.
I would say that shame is probably one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses against God's people. Shame is disappointment personalized, so that you just, you know, like when you, if I were to say to you, hang your head in shame, right? Why? Things just did not work out the way I thought they would, right? Or you try to study really hard to take a test and you fail it. Or you work really hard to save money and then your car breaks down and then you don't have any money. Or you try to do the right thing and resist temptation, but then you fail the test. Shame is when you feel like you have fallen short of the glory of God. And hope breaks the power of shame on your life, my life. Shame is something that will imprison people in depression. Shame will say to you, look what you could have been. Look what you could have done. Look how smart you should have been, or how much money you should have in your bank account, or how many this or that you should have done. And then look at your life. You've done nothing, or whatever it is. You're not good looking, or you're not, you know, whatever it is. It's that accusing hand of the enemy that comes against you that says that you did not achieve what you wanted in your life. Your dream is dead. But the Lord says that his hope puts joy in your mouth so that you can break the power of shame in your life. It says, hope does not shame us because God, here's the answer. God has given us an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his love. There's a love of God. See, I believe that Abraham wasn't just happy because the Lord tickled him or because the Lord, you know, said something funny to him. I believe that his joy came because God loved on him so much. He loved him out of shame into hope. He loved on him. I can't tell you the times in my life when I was struggling.
That's a great line. Out of shame into hope.
Yeah, because hope is the opposite of shame. Shame is disappointment over things that didn't happen in the future. And there are times when the Holy Spirit has come to me and God just loved on me. He loved on me and loved on me and loved on me. And I just needed it. I needed the love of God to carry me through disappointment. And that love rescued me. And he would do it in ways that would surprise me every time. And I just want to point out the last part of the story of Abraham's life was when he took his own son up on the mountain, right? And he said, I'm going to go on this mountain and worship and come back to you. First time of the use of the word worship on this mountain. He takes laughter with him up the mountain. Can you imagine that? Just calling your son, ha ha. Aha is here. Laughter is here. He's finally birthed in my life. I finally have laughter. Abraham laughed by faith on his face before he saw the fulfillment of laughter in the son.
Holy Spirit just hit me because my name means overcomer.
Overcomer. Yeah, victor, yeah. Hey. And so the Lord just... But I just want to share with you that confidence and that hope and that rejoicing is connected to God just showing me how much he loves me. He shows it so much in ways that only I know. He'll say something. Somebody will say something to me and they won't realize it, but they're giving me a prophetic word that only I know, that God knows what's going on in my life, and then I'll get it. And I'll just say, Lord, you love me so much that you're actually telling me that you love me and that you're happy with me right now. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt after God gave him this word and then all these years passed and nothing happened? Do you think that maybe Abraham was kind of criticizing himself after a while? Like, I'm supposed to be a man of faith, but where is the... You know what I mean? Where is it? Maybe Sarah said to me, honey, you better get busy because you've been believing God, but, you know, like nothing's happening. You see what I'm saying? But we can't help. But I can say this in context of this work right here. We all feel the weight of God's word over this place. You cannot get away from it. You feel the weight of God's intention for this work. And if it wasn't for the love of God, wasn't for the love of God coming and saying, I love you and I love this place. I love this place. You guys are just where I want you to be. You guys are so blessed right now to hear that from the Father's heart, that love that affirms you. That says, hey, you've got your struggles. You've failed. You've missed it. You've messed up. You maybe have made a wrong turn along the way. I love you. I'm with you. And you are not going to miss out on what I have for you. You're not going to miss it.
Amen.
You're not going to miss it. There's going to come a day when we will not have any room to put people. There's going to come a day when miracles are going to hit this place at such an intensity, people will be streaming up the driveway to get here. I'm not saying it's going to be the only place in town like that, but it's going to be here. It's going to be here. God will not fail. He can't fail. He cannot fail. There's going to come a day when you're going to see people saved that you thought would never get saved. You're going to... Amen. Yes. And our hunger is a huge key. Our prayer is a huge key. Our falling on our face before the Lord and laughing our way through tribulation. We can do it. We can laugh our way through the struggle. We can laugh our way in hope because we have been touched by the Lord. And God's love is what keeps us. Jesus said things like, I know that I always do what pleases the Father. He said that, right?
Yes.
Well, guess who can say that to?
Us. Everyone.
We can say that. Because even if we miss God, which we will miss God from time to time, we have to. That's just life. We can still say that. Because if you go, let me just explain this. If your child makes a mistake and does something, and then that child comes to you after you correct them and says, I'm really sorry, I just messed up. Wouldn't you say that you're well pleased with your child? Well, isn't that how God feels about us? Do you see how we need to have that love relationship with God and that sense that He really, really, really loves us and that we don't have to be like the perfect little Jesus walking around all the time? You know what I mean? That we can press into His likeness with His help and knowing that, I mean, it's like you know you're going to win. Even if you screw up, you're still going to win. Like you should be like, woo, thank you, Jesus. Right? Because you know that even if you have a drop pass on third down, you're still going to win the game. Why? Because you've got a tender heart. And because God is for you. But we just come under. You got to understand the world is out to pull you down. To get you to give up and to focus on your flaws and mistakes. To focus on your wrinkles, so to speak. Like Abraham, look at those wrinkles, man. You know, look at Sarah's wrinkles. You know, forget, it's not going to happen. You know, that constant attack of the enemy to rob you of your joy. So I just want us to just ask the Lord's love. The last part of rejoicing in that passage, there are three kinds of rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope and rejoicing in tribulations and then rejoicing because we've been reconciled to God. Because we are... okay with God. And for some of us, it may take more faith than others. Actually, it takes more faith to believe God loves you than it does for God to love other people. Because you know you better than anybody else. So you just need to receive the love of God. Amen? So let's stand to our feet and let's just ask the Lord to just pour out His love. Amen.